I invite you to give your attention to God's Word from John 10. We'll be reading verses 11 through 18. This picks up in the discourse the conversation that Jesus was having that described the sheep and shepherd. I hope you'll remember that last week I preached on the fact that Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." We'll go on to see that he says, "I am the good shepherd" as well. So this is John 10, beginning with verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Did you ever stop and wonder why the angels announced to shepherds the birth of Jesus Christ? The King of Kings is born. The Prince of Peace is coming into the world. You might imagine that angels would go to the rich and powerful of the world, that they would make an announcement to the president and his cabinet and make sure that all of the ones who are the most powerful men in the world would know that Jesus is coming. Instead, God sent his angels out on a dark night where there were shepherds living in the field and announced the birth of the King of Kings to these shepherds. Shepherds are certainly not the most powerful people in the world. In fact, they were generally looked down upon as lower class, sometimes mistrusted and even despised by some. And yet the angel comes to them and says, "Do not be afraid, for today I bring good news, glad tidings of great joy which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And there was not just one angel, but there were thousands of angels that then flooded the sky with the glorious light of heaven. And with their voice they lifted up and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." It is a very moving scene to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. But you do have to stop and wonder, why shepherds? Well, God doesn't tell us all his thinking, but I can't help but remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, that God has chosen the simple things to confound the wise. That God has chose the simple things to prove his own wisdom and his own power. And so God chose the sign of a shepherd, even in the Old Testament, to be a symbol to represent the care that he has for his people. Just think of how we sing in Psalm 23 and Psalm 80 as of God being our shepherd. That's not the only place. All throughout the scripture you see God describing himself as a shepherd. You see him as well exalting the lowly and revealing his power among those who are weak. He took the nation of Israel, which was not the most powerful nation, and raised them up to be his own children. From them, Christ would be born. And then I think he even exalts the lowly by revealing his glory by the angels to these shepherds. Well, Jesus also takes this symbol himself. The symbol of a simple servant, a shepherd. And he invests that simple servant with very wonderful and powerful images that speak of your salvation. And today, as we think about Jesus being the good shepherd, I want to call attention especially to what John says here, or what John records here of Jesus' words, that he is the good shepherd, that he watches over his sheep both now and forever. Therefore, you need not fear that Jesus will ever abandon you. In each of these I am statements, there's been a different aspect of the person and work of Jesus. Last week with the door, there was protection from enemies. The enemies from without and from within. Jesus assures us that he will protect us. And here, there is a description of a shepherd who cares for his sheep, mainly by being with them, with the presence of God. And it's with that confidence and with that comfort that we know that he watches over his sheep now and forever, that you need not fear that he will ever abandon you. So let's look at four different characteristics of the good shepherd that will help us to understand that. First of all, the good shepherd knows his sheep. This comes in the context of something of a comparison, right? So Jesus has originally, in the start of the chapter, compared himself to thieves and to robbers. Now he shifts that analogy just a little bit, and he compares himself to a hireling. To a hireling. Well, Jesus says he knows his sheep, whereas a hireling does not. Jesus knows his sheep, even knows them by name. That fact in and of itself is something worthy to meditate on, that Jesus knows each one of his children by name. I don't know about you, but when I see a flock of sheep, it's hard for me just to discern one from another, let alone know them by name. But Jesus does that. That's because that's what a shepherd does. If you had a job like this, then you probably would know your animals as well. What does a shepherd do? Well, the children might especially imagine this. What do you think a shepherd does? Well, a shepherd will lead his flock in and out each day, will take them out into the pasture so they can eat. He'll make sure that they have water to drink. He might use his staff to guard and to ward away the wild animals that come around. And guess what he might do if he finds one of his sheep that's hurt? Well, he would take that sheep and he would tend it. He would care for it. He would bind up its wounds and make sure that it was healthy and strong. And if it was weak, maybe he would pick that sheep up and would carry it home. That's what a shepherd does with his sheep. And it makes sense that he would know each one of his sheep. He was there when they were born. He would know them and call them each by their name. You might think as well of Jesus' parable of the lost sheep. He says that there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep in his flock, and at the end of the day, when he got home, he only had 99. Now, you know the story, and you know that he goes back and looks for the one that is lost, but today we might think, well, 99%, that's a pretty good average. You might be satisfied with 99% and not trouble yourself to go out and find that small percentage that has been lost. You just kind of write it off on your taxes this year. Lost one sheep. Well, that's not what Jesus does. He knows his sheep. He knows when it's lost, and so he goes and he finds that one that is lost. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. I've been speaking of it in terms of the analogy that Jesus uses, but now let's just talk plainly here. Jesus knows his church. He knows those who believe in him, those who are called his children, his elect, his church, his bride. He knows each child and woman and man individually. He knows you by name. He provides for you. He nurtures you spiritually, providing what is necessary for you to grow in the Christian life so that you would come to recognize him more and more. He cares for you when you are weak and doubting, mending and tending to you when you have been injured. And those who wander, he goes and he reclaims. Those who have stumbled and been captured into sin, he pursues and lays his hands on you and draws you back and says, "You are mine." That's what a shepherd does. That's what Jesus does for you as his child, because he knows you. And you know him. That's the second aspect of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is known by his sheep. This is what Jesus says, I know my sheep and am known by my own. Earlier he described it as going to the gate, opening the gate and calling out by name his sheep. And his sheep would then follow him because they know the shepherd's voice. There's a little background to this that will help you to understand this a little better. It's said that sometimes shepherds would gather their various flocks together into one pen. It might be that there are two, three, or four different flocks that are all being protected at night in the same sheepfold. At the beginning of the day, though, when it's time for those sheep to go out to pasture, what the shepherd would do would go to the gate and he would call his own sheep. And the sheep would recognize the voice of their own shepherd and would follow that particular shepherd. They wouldn't follow any of the other shepherds because they didn't recognize the voice. I had something slightly similar happened to me this week. I was taking care of some household chores, and one of those chores was to feed our cats. On our front step is a neighborhood cat that we've kind of adopted. We've named him Bagheera. And Bagheera seems more interested in being petted than in eating sometimes. So whenever I go out and I feed him, I give him a scoop of food, and he will reach out with his paw and he will ask or insistently be sure that I pet him. In fact, if I don't pet him and I step away, he will reach out and he'll swat my foot. He's that interested in being petted. Well, this week as I was doing my chores, I also had my phone on and was listening to a podcast. And there was a different voice, in a sense, coming from my body. And as I fed Bagheera, he looked at me and he did one of these cringes and one of these backups that a cat does. There was a stranger's voice coming from this body. He didn't recognize me, and so he shied away. When I turned off the podcast and I spoke to him, all was well. And he made sure that I gave him a pat. You know your Savior's voice, and you follow him. Jesus knows you. He calls you. And you hear him, and you know him, and you follow him. It's a touching illustration to describe the tender care that Jesus has for you. There's an intimacy that is described here. Jesus is not some bureaucrat that has a sheep farm that's scattered over thousands of miles and he doesn't know his own sheep and he doesn't speak to them. No, Jesus knows you personally. He knows each and every one of you personally, and you know him. You know his voice. By Jesus' love, he brings you into a sweet fellowship with himself. And it's a fellowship not just with him, but he says that you know him just like he knows the Father. You see, what he's saying is that by his love, he is drawing you into that eternal fellowship that's existed between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know God through Jesus Christ. And you know him intimately. Not far off, but close. Far too often I find myself thinking of God as being removed from the situation. Surely he won't listen to me. Surely he's too busy for me. Surely I am too lowly, or my sins separate. But Jesus makes himself known and reveals himself in a way that we hear his voice and we follow. It's good for your soul to just meditate today on that presence of Jesus Christ and the knowledge that you have of him that's been given to you, the knowledge of God himself. The third characteristic of the Good Shepherd is that he never abandoned his sheep. And I hope by this time you might say, well, of course he never abandons his sheep. It's unthinkable that a shepherd would ever do that. But listen again to the comparison. Jesus is the good shepherd, but the hireling is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, and when he sees danger coming, the hireling abandons his sheep. I hope you get the picture there. You can imagine what it would be the case if you had been hired to do a job to shepherd the sheep, and first day on the job, and all of a sudden over the hill you see a pack of wolves coming, and you thought, I didn't sign up for this. This is a lot more than I expected, and off you go, because there's danger. That's what a hireling does. And Jesus says, I am not a hireling. I'm the good shepherd. I care for my sheep. The hireling cares just about cares for his own safety. But the good shepherd never abandons his sheep. Again, let's draw this into speaking plainly about Christ in the church. Jesus says he will never leave you or forsake you. I use those words intentionally because those are words that you can find scattered all throughout the Bible. Think about where in the Old Testament God says, I am your God, you are my people, I am with you, I will never leave you or forsake you. Take time throughout today and throughout this week to just go through your Bible looking for those phrases where God says, I am with you. He says it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He says it to Gideon and to Moses. He says it to the nation of Israel. Listen to these words from Isaiah 41. He says of Israel, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and will not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand." He goes on to describe himself as a shepherd who reaches down to gather up the young and the weak into his own arm and to care for them. This is the care that Jesus has for you. We come into the New Testament and he takes up that name of a shepherd, intentionally taking up these descriptions of a God who never leaves or forsakes. And think of the name that we sometimes sing about during the Christmas holiday. O come, Emmanuel. That name means God with us. And this is the name that Jesus takes for himself. He is Emmanuel. The Son of God himself humbled himself. He took upon himself human nature, the form of a servant and a sacrifice, so as to be our deliverer. He came and he gave himself to fulfill the promise of never leaving or forsaking. And then in my own ears are ringing the promise that Jesus gave before he ascended into heaven. In that great commission, we often quote this to think of how Jesus has invested in us a task to do. But along with that task, he makes a promise. Can you think of it? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I have commanded you. For lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Good Shepherd has not only invested you, his child, with his own presence, he's invested you with a job to do, and he sends you out with that presence to accomplish his purpose. He will never leave you alone to go about the work that he has for you to do, all in your own strength. Instead, you can look to him as your good shepherd, the one who is with you always. And finally, perhaps the highest point of this analogy comes when Jesus says the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You see, Jesus' commitment to be with you goes so far as to lay down his life for you. Later in Jesus' ministry in John chapter 15, you can read about how Jesus says, "Very rarely will a person lay down his life for someone else. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's what Jesus has done. Out of his love for his church, he has indeed given his life. And that sacrifice is exactly what was required for your salvation. It was exactly what was necessary to make you one of his sheep. It must be said that because of sin that we have wandered. Like Isaiah 53 says, we have followed our own paths. Like a sheep gone astray, we have rejected God. And without the salvation of Jesus Christ, we are without hope in the world. We are dead in our sins. And that death is deserved because of our sins. But out of mercy and out of grace and out of love, Jesus came as a good shepherd. And the good shepherd laid down his own life for his sheep. The death that you deserve, he took upon himself. You deserve the wrath and curse of God, now and forevermore. But Jesus took that on the cross. It really is a rich analogy to see the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. You could put that into some of the other analogies that God uses for the church. Think of Jesus, the groom, giving his life for his bride, the church. Think of the king laying down his life for his subjects. Think of the high priest dying in place of the repentant sinners. In all of these analogies, we have the great one humbling himself and giving himself in the place of the one who deserves death. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This is exactly what Jesus has done. Is it any wonder then that the church throughout every age has lifted up their voices to praise our great good shepherd? Is it any wonder that angels would flood the skies and would shout out the great glory of God? That this is a message of joy for all people. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Why? Because that great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, has come, who by his own blood would redeem us, his sheep. This is the God who promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And in Jesus Christ, he has accomplished that purpose. He has accomplished that promise. So I pray that these words and the actions of Jesus would comfort you and help you to recognize that Jesus will never abandon you. Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, we bow to you today and we thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ. From that humble beginning, O Lord, there is great mystery and great power and joy that is revealed. And today we do join the angels and say, "Hallelujah, glory to God for what you have done." O God, thank you for taking our sin on yourself. Thank you for paying the penalty that we have deserved. And thank you for sending your own Son to be our Savior. We worship you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for this Savior and this salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's praise the Lord, singing Psalm 23b. Singing of and to our great Good Shepherd. Psalm 23b, please stand to sing.